Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. Today is a special day worth living.
Bishop Haralambos is a Greek Orthodox bishop whose ordination name translates from the Greek to be Happy Light. Bishop Hara, or Happy, will welcome us each morning with an uplifting message of exhortation, bringing us together for wisdom, knowledge, Bible prophecy, and current events, reviewing past prophecies aired on the radio years ago in a Nostradamus fashion. The program will contain miracles, newspaper quotes, and Holy Scripture readings relating to the end times.
This edification program will contain ecclesiastical opinions addressing inconsistencies of traditional church truths and dogma practiced by Christian denominations and other religions. Bishop Haralambos will speak from his position as a Knight of Malta, knighted in the Byzantine Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Christ. He was also Vatican decorated with the Grand Cross of St. Gregory by Pope Benedictine XVI.
Hello, my beloved listeners. God bless you. It's just so wonderful to talk to you each week. And I just wish some of you would sort of communicate a little more. I miss you. And I hope these words are words of blessing today and also words of wisdom. And again, I have my researcher, my theological researcher, Brother Frank Pacilli, and I know y'all love him. By the way, he sings beautiful. If you ever want to invite us sometime, if you want to hear me talk or give a speech, you certainly might want to hear him sing. I always enjoy his song, "The Impossible Dream." Good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
Good morning, Bishop.
Bishop, I was going to interject that.
All right.
Okay. Archbishop.
And, I'm wearing the collar now in the studio, and I'm getting respect from everyone. I want it from you also.
You will get it from now on, Archbishop.
Okay, of course, I'm just joking. He loves me, and I love him. We're brothers in Christ. We're going to have a very controversial topic today. I'm going to read you some scripture. And basically, it's based on the fact we talk about the peace of Christ. But in Matthew, there's a mention of something that Christ said, that was very, very controversial. Think not, and this is verse 34 of Matthew, think not that I come to send peace on earth. Well, my gosh, they call him Christ the Prince of Peace. What does Scripture mean by this? And it's in the Gospel of Matthew, I think not that I come to send peace on earth. Well, you know, that would surprise the angels that when he was born in Bethlehem in the nativity scene, which is a wonderful place to pray and be. We'll talk about it later. Our president visited it. I came not to send peace, but a sword, for I come to set a man at variance against his father. And it says, honor your father and mother. So what is Christ really saying to us here? Is it a hidden message? And the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be them of his own household. Now, there is an explanation, I think, on the side here that kind of explains our precious Lord who, when he said these words, because he went on to say, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. In other words, if you're really going to pick up the cross and follow Christ, Christ has to come first. And he that loveth son or daughter, you know, our children seem to be the focus of most family members, and they don't put God first, they put their kids first. And so maybe that's why some of them are so spoiled and get in trouble later in life. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross, and there's the issue, and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. I believe the issue of the peace on earth is telling you that there will not be peace on earth. There'll be a division between those that believe in Christ. So he's saying, I did not come Because we know now there's no peace on earth because of the division of a Muslim and a Christian. So why we Christians, especially in America here, why we're trying to salve this issue over, Christ himself said that we would be at odds in family for those that don't bring up the cross and follow me. Certainly the Muslims and Islam does not follow Christ. They, at best, they believe he was a prophet. Well, a big deal. I mean, he's God in the flesh. So the fact is that he knew, and Christ was saying it, actually prophesying here, that he could not come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword, knowing there'd be a division. And I believe the division is said in Scripture many times. And we're going to go on with the message today between the different fractions and factions of religions in the world. The only religion that really counts, of course, as we know, is Christianity. But everyone seems to want to allow and pacify people that have other faiths. And recently I had, well, before I get into that, would you like to comment?
Yes, thank you, Archbishop. In John 7, verses 2 to 10, at the Feast of Tabernacles, the brothers didn't really understand. Now, they were stepbrothers. People think that they're brothers from the bloodline of Mary, but they're actually stepbrothers because Joseph was an elderly man. But to get off that subject, they didn't even understand Jesus. He went up to the Feast of Tabernacles, and they said, "For no one to be known openly, if you do these things, show yourself to the world." For even his brothers did not believe him. And that's in Scripture. And he sent them up ahead of him. And then he went. So he separated himself from his family because they did not know the truth, and they were speaking to the truth.
Well, for a prince of peace, and we know our God was a peaceful message, except for the time he turned the tables over in the temple because they were misusing the temple of God, my father's house, as he referred to it. You know, he became very angry. So we know we have a Lord that can be both loving and embracing and healing, but also a Lord of a force, if necessary, to make a correction. As he said, "You make this, my father's house, a den of thieves." He didn't say a den of mercantile sales. He called them thieves. And they were stealing something probably away from the people who came there to pray and find something else besides money and the sale of goods in the temple. But I did run into an individual here recently that wants to belong in, to the order of Byzantine Order of the Holy Sepulchre, which I am a prior in the Western Hemisphere. As a bishop, I was ordained as a knight of Malta to protect the truth of the sepulchre, the sacred Holy Sepulchre. And I hold that very, very dear to my heart, not only for the fact that it was placed upon me, the honor to be a knight. You can go back to the knighthoods and the Templar knights and a whole lot of issue of the Crusades, and that becomes a different issue. And there's a lot of argument about that, how truthful that was and how godly that was. But basically, this individual who wanted to join and has been in communication with me is a military man. And he has said, well, you know, I asked him, you know, what is your interest? Because this is the Byzantine Order of the Holy Sepulchre, is an Orthodox foundational knighthood. And I have the honor of being one of the principals in this hemisphere because I'm a prelate. And I'm also a bishop, archbishop. And that's one of the reasons, of course, they asked me to come to Malta to be knighted. And I hold that, as I said, very dear to my heart, but it's a huge responsibility. And Frank, you know, he brought something up that I want to read. He said, "Well, I don't have to be Orthodox." And I said, "Well, why are you so interested in the knighthood?" And he said, "Because I've gone back and I found out that that is the only unchanged church back to 33 AD, the Orthodox foundation." And so he was correct in that, but he wanted to accept all Christianity. Now, there is an acceptance to Christianity, which is fine with me. I have it in my heart, and the Lord has shown me in many ways now that we can accept these other Christian brothers, but we need to edify them with love. We can't let it be and say we accept it and all is well. It doesn't make any difference how you look at Christ. because I have to bring these words up that he reminded me. And it was a good argument. So I bought him up. In other words, he was trying to tell me I don't have to be Orthodox necessarily, although I respect it for being the first church and really the most unchanged church. And he knew all the issues and all the history of 1054. But, you know, Frank, he got me to read, you know, here we're reading about peace. I do not come to peace. I've come with a sword. And on one hand, Christ is saying that, which seems to justify him turning tables over in the temple. But then again, remember the passage when some apostles came to him and they said, he said something quite important. He accused, he said, Lord, what should we do? What should we do if we run into someone that is using your name, in the name of Christ? And Christ said, he, wherefore I say unto you, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. He said that on one hand, and then on the other hand, he said that, that's not confusing. I can understand that quite well. Can you not, Frank?
Yes.
In other words, if you're not with Christ and you're not a Christian, then you're obviously, it says, wherefore I say unto you, no manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. How do you feel about that?
Well, you mentioned that some people proclaim that they're Christians, but in Acts 8:9, there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and was astonished at the people of Samaria claiming that he was someone great, and he was baptized. It says later, Simon believed, he changed his ideas and was baptized and continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now in Acts 8:18-21, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. And he said, give me this power also that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. In other words, he wanted to make money.
Sounds
not so much
like,
different.
Sounds like Benny Hinn.
Exactly right. And you know what was said? It said, Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right.
You know, I'm concerned about some of these television evangelists that collect all this money. It almost seems the reverse of what you're saying, but still in the same vein, that they lay hands and they heal and what have you. And there was a point in Mark 2 that says, and John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name. Now, obviously, he wasn't part of the first church or the apostles. And the apostle John said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us. In other words, he's not with our group. And, of course, the core group at that point was Christ and his apostles and his disciples. And we forbade him because he followed not us. So they did not want him to cast out devils, but certainly he was still doing it in the name of Christ. What did the Lord say? An interesting answer. And here we get on one point. It says, he that is not with me is against me. Right. But there's a fine definition there. He that is not with me is against me, and he that scattereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. That's an important issue, because as we go back to John, where we hear about John answering, saying to Christ, whenever Christ said, whoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. So that's a direct path to the throne of God, that Christ is the vessel and the continuity to heaven. And that's the problem with all these Christianities that go on today, and certainly other religions. It isn't so much that we condemn their their ideas and their differences and not respecting God. But you know, it's important to know that when you say Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, that's by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And when you can't say that, then obviously you don't have the Holy Spirit working in you. That we understand. But John answered him saying, again, I'll repeat this, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us, and we forbade him because he followed not us. Now, I'd like for you to see if you can answer. I'm going to put you to the test, my dear little researcher, my dear tall researcher. What does Christ say?
Did he say,
what would you, if you were Christ, what would you say in that case?
Well, I know what I would say, but I'm not certain. But did he say, if they're not, let them be? In other words, because if they're not against us, then they're with us, or something to that effect?
Well, Christ said, forbid him not, because John was asking him, and we forbade him because he followed not us. And Jesus said, forbid him not. Don't tell the man to quit in my name. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can speak lightly of evil. For he that is not against us is on our part, is on our side. So here this man, where he got the idea to cast out devils in Christ's name without belonging, is a very interesting point, because that could be happening today. That some Christian churches are casting out devils and working with sinful people in the name of Christ. Obviously, I think Jesus was recognizing at that time and carrying it forward even to this century that the devils are being cast out in the name of Christ invokes the Holy Spirit. You see, it's not the man that's healing him. It's Christ's name. The power of the name invoked by the Holy Spirit. Do you see what I mean, Frank?
That's an interesting point.
And for he that is not against us is on our side, is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water, and here it goes, to drink in my name. I mean, Christ is going beyond the healing issue in my name, because you belong to Christ. Verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and he were cast into the sea. Now, isn't that interesting that the Lord seemed to have a great balance about life and what we do in Christianity? On the one hand, he tells us, I bring no peace, but I bring a sword to have a division even between family members, he turns around and says, whenever I say to you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. I believe that's the crux and the issue. I think that's the what do we call it when you have a seesaw, the thing in the center, the
balance. Fulcrum.
The fulcrum, and the balance of the seesaw, one with the other, is probably the best way to look at Christianity today. And for you listeners out there, beloved listeners, the truth is that we can't condemn it, and nor have I tried to, but we are edifying. We have a responsibility, especially if you're a bishop. There is a responsibility of edification, and we just can't let that slide. Yes, we can say, forbid him not, if we're Orthodox Christians or we belong to the one traditional holy apostolic church, we can't come against our Protestant brothers and sisters in Christ, but we certainly can be part of the Holy Spirit to edify and bring them in the completed, fullness of the truth. But we got to be careful. We can't judge or condemn. And if anyone has misunderstood anything that I've said in the past, I pray not that you understand it. I know I've even talked a few times about President Bush, and even though he sent me a beautiful letter years ago, because the president appreciated my thoughts for him and gestures, because I sent him a gift, for a very important gift. It was some discs that were taken in the presidential palace at one time from a former president, and it was on a 33 and a third CD, and with Kennedy and with Eisenhower, and he enjoyed that. And they sent it to me as a hierarch, Archbishop Harold Lambos, and it was sent to me from the White House by the special assistant to the president, and I enjoyed that. But I know a few times I've criticized our dear president, but here I see on the front page when he visited, and he's now visiting the Middle East, or just recently did, here he is in a picture, which I'm astonished with 14, no less than, no, actually 15, I see the mitre of another one, 15 bishops and archbishops at the scene on the sacred ground in Bethlehem at the Church of the Nativity that is controlled and protected by the Orthodox faith. And I like to read this to you, Frank. It was in Bethlehem, the West Bank. President Bush poses with Greek Orthodox clergy of the Church of the Nativity, believed to be built on the site of Jesus' birthday and birthplace, after meeting Thursday with Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas as part of a Middle East peace mission, which he's trying to accomplish. And some people say that our dear president vowed an active role in pushing the Mideast concessions between the Palestinians and the Jews. And what's interesting is that there are many, many Palestinians, people don't know this, they're not Muslim, they're Orthodox. And but here he is, and he's even holding hands with an archbishop and a bishop. It's amazing.
You showed
that
picture.
Can you comment on that?
Yeah, you showed that picture to me. You know what's kind of interesting? I was thinking back in the Old Testament where the kings and spirituality were very close, because if someone was worshiping, or a king saw that someone was worshiping an idol or Asherah, and they didn't take it down, then that country was not, or that king was not blessed. But if they took it down, there was peace in that country. And it seems kind of interesting that President Bush is with the bishops and holding hands. And I came up with a little quip here that it's a 21st century president touches the first century church. So hopefully that will continue, and that line of passage will not only go through his hands, but also into his heart.
I believe he was blessed by no less than, looks like, three priests, one archbishop, metropolitan, and 14, 15, one of them even looks like me, as I've been told. I'm showing this to Lisa, my producer. And she says, yeah, she's shaking her head, yes. And, of course, he's got more beard than I have, because I keep mine a little more cleaner. But I believe he was blessed. And what a blessing. I mean, I'm thinking differently to him. He almost has the look of a little boy. And God bless him. You know, and he says, God bless America. And I say today, God bless you, President Bush, because regardless of your politics, whether you, anyone out there is in agreement, or whether even I'm in agreement, the issue is, before he goes out, he received the blessings of the first church with no less than 15 bishops and archbishops. And I kind of want to pass that on to him, if anyone's listening or even knows him, or that I even noticed something that never happens with a Secret Service around. I see him holding hands with the bishop next to him.
You talk about the laying on of hands. That could be very profound.
I believe there was a passage, a supernatural passage of love, a supernatural passage of blessing from the one true church that ignites in the Holy Sepulchre every year. Candles are ignited when you walk in, proving the Orthodox faith. That's astounding that in the Holy Sepulchre, you are not allowed to light the candle. You go in with a candle unlit, and it lights supernaturally, even people that visit it. And I think since he's in an active role in the Middle East today, I pray for his safety, because we know that something recently happened in Lebanon, and there was a bomb that went off and 20 people were injured and killed. And thank God nothing like that has happened to our president, who is visiting the Middle East to bring peace. But he's vowing that before he goes out of office, he'll have an active role. Of course, there are people that are saying that can never happen. But our president did vow that Because I believe he's seeing that there's something a little more to the Palestinian issue. They're Christians too. They're not just Muslims. And of course, we know the Jews, what their role is. And, you know, it's getting pretty prevalent in Jerusalem and certainly in Israel that there are issues of yeshiva students even spitting on hierarchs of the Orthodox faith as they pass by. One even rolled down a window, asked him to roll down the window and spit in his face. And it was reported, of course, to the Judaic authorities, and they, of course, prosecuted the man. And we don't have a whole lot of time. We only have a whole lot of time left. But the president holding hands, that's the transmittal in a very subtle way, probably even with the Secret Service. Because if you raise your hand and try to put it on the president's head, I think they might intervene, not knowing what you're doing, because it's a rule. You can't touch the president with their presence. And yet he's holding hands. And God, he looks like I just love him. I just look at him, he looks like a little boy. But he looks like a repentant person, you know. And I don't even agree with his politics, but at least he embraced and went to the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, the birthplace of Christ that we Orthodox protect and love. And you listening out there, you love him too. Any final comments? We have a short time.
Well, you know, when you see the president and the king of this country reaching out, it just like you said, maybe there's a healing that will take place, not only with President Bush, but also with this country, because a healing definitely has to take place, because we are not going in the right direction. And this could be the onset of maybe a new rebirth in this country, if God allows it.
Well, it certainly will be a hit to him as a man, because, you know, we wrote him before and we said, pass that cup of wrath to everyone, because that's in Scripture. And he received that. And, of course, he's pretty tough as far as Middle East policy. And we know in Iraq it's very tough. But getting back to a conclusion here, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. In other words, if the miracle happens and the Holy Spirit's there, Christ is saying, if I understand this passage, you can't say something evil against Christ if the Holy Spirit is indeed healing through you in the words that you sue and the laying on of hands, for he that is not against us is on our part. That's beautiful. That opens I only have a minute left, but that opens up a door for me to embrace all you lovely Protestants out there that I've picked on for the last few weeks. I love you, and I want you to know that we really want to come together in unity. And, of course, you're going to find that if you invite me into your home, I'm going to speak the truth to you, and there will be edification. And I will say one thing, the truth that I believe in my heart, because I am anointed by the Holy Spirit. And I do serve as a bishop by being anointed by the Holy Spirit. And I pray I never speak anything except the word of love. But edification comes with a sword. Christ said it himself. He came to divide. And, of course, that's what I've been doing in order to wake up Christians and make them realize that we need to all come to the fullness of the truth in Christ Jesus' name. I love you out there listening. I love you. Amen.
Amen.
It's important that I tell you St. Michael Academy of Eschatology is sponsoring this program. It is a Bible seminary, an Orthodox Bible seminary, and it's under the State of Florida Board of Education and of Colleges. Please, you can write St. Michael Academy, Post Office Box 7007, West Palm Beach, Florida 33405. I also want to have a feedback from my beautiful listeners. You can reach me, your Bishop Harold Ambos, or Bishop Harry, or Bishop Happy, at msn.com, Archangel Michael, low caps, Archangel Michael, ARCHANGEL, Michael, MICHAEL, one word, at msn.com. I'm waiting to hear from you.
And God loves you.